Exodus chapter 14 in your Bibles this morning. Thank you, Sam, for that song, and Brenda, thank you for playing today. Passover is the most holy and anticipated festival on the Jewish calendar. It coincides with our Easter, and really it pointed forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who would die for us. But for the Jews, for every adult male Jew, they were required to go in the spring to Jerusalem for Passover. It was also called the Feast of Unleavened Bread that lasted for 7 days. And leaven is yeast, and it reminded Israel that when their forefathers exited the land, they had to do it so in haste. After the 10th plague, Pharaoh finally said, "Get these people out of here," as he responded to Moses' plea to let the Israelites go. But they knew that it might be short-lived, and that he very likely would change his mind, so they left in haste. And so for the Jews today, as they celebrate Passover, they'll go through their house and take out any leaven, any yeast, and bread or cereals or anything like that for 1 week, remembering the forefathers' exodus from Egypt, and they left in haste. There was only one Passover, and that was the night of the Exodus. All the other Passovers are memorials or remembrances of that time. And so it was a good reminder to the Israelites the mighty power of God in delivering their ancestors. I am not sure why that's doing that. It's annoying, isn't it? If something's going on with the short and whatever, I'll just switch to this. So we'll give it one. I'm gonna give you one more chance not to do that one. Go to bed right now. I'm not gonna tell you again. Why do we say that and then tell them again and again and again? But I think we were talking about Passover a few minutes ago, and let's see if I can recover where I was at. So it's not only a time for the Israelites to remember the deliverance by God of their forefathers, but as they sat down and ate the meal and they described the different parts of the meal, they were teaching their children their history, their heritage. And so a major part of the Passover, as you know, was the killing of the lamb in the original, the only Passover, and then the placing of the blood on the side and the top of the door. Most of you are familiar, some of you may not know, that's where the term Passover comes from. That's it. I told you I wasn't going to tell you again. I gave you one more chance. No, you wanted to be ornery. Are we here, Jane? Thank you. I can remember where I was at. Oh, yeah, thank you. Thanks for the help there, guys. So the Passover meaning was on the 10th plague, the death angel would pass over the homes of the Israelites where the blood was applied. For the Egyptians, who didn't have blood on their home, of course, the firstborn of their animals and their children died. And that was the last straw that caused Pharaoh to say, you know, you can leave the land. And so in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 42, the Bible says, "On this night, the Lord kept his promise to bring his people out of the land of Egypt. So this night belongs to him. And it must be commemorated every year by all the Israelites from generation to generation." And so that's why the Jews still celebrate Passover today. It was given to them in Exodus to be a commemoration or memorial generation after generation or year after year to remember the mighty deliverance of God on their behalf. Now, you may have heard the term the Passover Seder. And the word Seder simply means order. And so when the Jews celebrate the Passover meal today, they will sit down, and the first month of the Jewish calendar, which is Nisan, sort of our spring of the year. And there are certain elements, or there are certain foods that are at that meal, and they're always the same, because it's not just to sit down and eat, it's to remember what happened at the Exodus. And so the different parts of the meal, the different food in the meal, represents different parts of the Exodus. So one of the things that will be on a plate when you share in a Passover, if you've ever done that, some of you may have, we've done it here at church before, will be a shank bone, or a bone that represents the Paschal or the Passover lamb. And it's a very important part. Of course, it's not something you eat, it's just a bone. But it's a reminder of the Passover lamb. What Israel would do on the Passover, that first Passover, they took a lamb on the 10th of Nisan and they watched it for 4 days to make sure that there was no deformities, there was no sickness, it had to be pure, it had to be innocent. And they would actually take the lamb and love on it and almost make it like a special pet during those 4 days. And then on the Passover evening, they would take the lamb to the temple, and there its throat would be cut and blood would spill. And then they would eat this lamb that had almost become a pet to them. And the reason was to understand the significance of the sacrifice on their behalf. It was a costly sacrifice. Now, in Jesus' day, when Jewish pilgrims came from all over the world to Jerusalem, bringing their lambs or buying them at the temple, that's, remember, the cleansing of the temple when they were charging these high prices for the animals. Thousands of lambs were killed. It wasn't a pretty sight. You can imagine thousands of lambs being, their throats being slit, and the blood would run through the temple area, down through the streets, down in the Kidron Valley, into the river, and for a month it would run red with all this massive blood. And it was all pointing to Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb who would die on our behalf. And so the many Old Testament stories, or at least some of them, they typify Jesus Christ, and he's the fulfillment of those. And we'll talk about that as we get into Mark chapter 14 a little bit later in the study. So there was the shank bone that was taken, and they would remember the lamb and how that their ancestors would slay a lamb, and they would actually do that on behalf of their sins so their sins could be covered. The innocent dying for the guilty, a picture of Christ, the Lamb of God who died for us. And then there was a roasted egg. It reminded the Israelites of spring and that this festival would be taking part at this time of year. Another part of the meal was the bitter herbs. And normally, and we've done this before here, that is horseradish. And you would put on a piece of matzah and you would eat horseradish. Not my favorite thing to eat. Horseradish, if you don't like horseradish, even if you do, I guess, can bring tears to your eyes. And that was actually the purpose for that specific part of the meal. The tears in the eyes was a reminder to the Jews and to the children that were Jewish, the fact that their forefathers suffered in Egypt. It was hard labor. It was slavery. There was a lot of tears because of the oppression. And so that was a part of the meal as well. Probably my favorite part of the Passover meal, if you've done a Passover Seder, is the sweet apples and nuts and cinnamon and honey, a mixture of those elements together. And it's a very sweet taste. But that was to be representative of the mortar that was mixed to make the bricks to build Pharaoh's structures in Egypt. And then there was a green vegetable that would be eaten, and it would again symbolize not only spring but the fact that the Israelites had flourished in Egypt the 430 years they were there, even in the bondage. If you remember the story back in Genesis when Joseph was sold as a slave and he went to Egypt, and then later on his family had no idea what had happened to him, they went down to Egypt to find food. 70 people went down, Genesis tells us. 400 and some years later, there were probably 1 to 2 million Jews. That's why Pharaoh wanted to kill all the male children so they wouldn't continue to grow. And so this vegetable, when they eat the vegetable at the Passover Seder, is a reminder that even in the midst of difficulty and scars, as Sam sang a while ago, Israel flourished and God blessed them even in their difficulties. And then there's another bitter herb that's taken, and it again reminds them of the tears and the sweat and the hard labor that they were under in Egypt. Another part of the meal is salt water, and you would take a piece of parsley or the green vegetables and you would dip it in the salt water and eat it. And the salt water represented the tears and the sweat that the Israelites encountered. And then two other things let me mention to you is, one is the unleavened bread. You've probably heard the term matzah before. It's bread without yeast. And if you've seen matzah bread that's sold in stores, it's very, very flat, very thin. And so this would be a part of their meal as well. There's one part of the Passover meal where there is a pouch with three pieces of matzah in it. The Jews really have different explanations as to what that is a reference to, but I believe even in the ceremony, it represents the Trinity. And the middle piece is taken out of the pouch, and it's broken, and it's put in a cloth and taken away. And symbolically, even though many of the Jews don't even recognize this, it is a reference to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whose life was broken for us. Now, when we look in just a few minutes at Matthew chapter 14, it was this part of the ceremony where Jesus takes the bread and breaks it and said, "This is my body that was given for you." Mark chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, Matthew, I think 26, that talk about the Lord's Supper. Sometimes we just think the Lord's Supper, but understand that when Jesus partook of this with the disciples, it was another Passover meal. They were doing a whole meal, just like we're talking about today, with these different elements that pointed to Jesus Christ, and we'll look at that in a little bit. And so the unleavened bread was a part of the meal. Again, we talked about that earlier, that it was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And Jesus said leaven typifies sin. And even for us today, we need to make sure that the leaven is out of our life. The sin is out of our life, that we are holy before the Lord. And then the last item that it was partaken of during the meal, and there were songs interspersed throughout the meal as well at the Passover, were the cups of wine. There were four cups of wine that was taken by the participants at the Passover. And it wasn't just because they were going to get real thirsty. Each of the cups had a symbolism found in Exodus chapter 6. Let me read Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 to you, and I'll talk about the four cups. "Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." Now, if you have a paper, you'll see it there. If you want to mark something in your Bible, you can do that as well. God is okay if you mark up your Bible. And if you do, you might want to write beside it, the Passover feast of four cups. And if you have the handouts, it was actually in yellow and it showed up on my computer. But when I ran it off, it's too dark and you can't even see it. So just imagine in that space that's right there, it's really in black, it says the four cups, and each of them are described. The first cup they took was the cup of sanctification. Now look back in Exodus chapter 6, "I will bring you out." And so that's why this cup was there. They were remembering what God said in Exodus chapter 6, "I will bring you out." He was going to bring them out of slavery and bring them to himself. He was going to sanctify, which means to set apart. And so at this particular point in the ceremony, in the Seder, they would take this cup, the cup of sanctification, and they would remember that God said he would bring his people out. Then a little bit later on in the Passover meal, they would share in the second cup, and that was the cup of deliverance. And the I wills in Exodus chapter 6 is, I will free you. So not only did he bring them out of slavery, the cup of sanctification, but he brought them into freedom, and they would drink the cup, the second cup, the cup of deliverance. Now, the third cup that they would drink at the Passover Seder was the cup of redemption. Number one, I will bring you out. Number two, I will free you. Number three, I will redeem you. Now, this was after the meal was finished. They would drink the third cup, the cup of redemption, and they would remember that God told their ancestors, I am going to redeem you. I'm going to buy you out of the slave market, and I'm going to bring you to myself. Now, just remember this. We'll come to it, and I'll mention it again. But in Mark chapter 14 at the Passover, when the bread was taken out and broken, and Jesus said, this is now my body. We'll talk about that in a minute. Then they took the third cup, the cup of redemption. And then Jesus would say, this is my blood. He was going to redeem us through his blood. So in a little bit, when we take the Lord's Supper today, we'll have a little bit of juice and a little bit of bread, and we'll remember the body and the blood of Christ. But when Christ took this on the night before he was, the night that he was arrested and the day before he was crucified, it was a full meal. And it was at this point when the bread was broken and the third cup was he drank that he said, I'm giving you a new covenant that we'll look at in just a minute. And the last cup was the cup of praise. And it says, I will take you to as my own people. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to give you freedom. I'm going to bring you to myself. I'm going to redeem you. And you're going to be my people. A cup of sanctification, a cup of deliverance, a cup of redemption, and a cup of praise. Now, if you're familiar with the Jewish Passover, they actually have a fifth cup that they don't drink from. It's called Elijah's cup. And it represents the day that Messiah is going to come. And, of course, many Jews, if they're not Messianic Jews, don't believe that Christ is the Messiah today. They're looking forward to that day when Elijah will come. There's actually a chair at the table for him. We talked about that a year or so ago when we went through the Feast of Israel. So now Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verse 12. And you would have read through this passage this week if you read through the Gospel of Mark. But I wanted to give you that background of the Passover, because that's what Jesus was doing. And so in Mark chapter 14, verse 12, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, where do you want us to go and make preparations for you and us to eat the Passover? So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, the teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, the upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there. The disciples left, went into the city, found the things Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. So with the background that I've told you, hopefully you can see that here in Mark. The Jews from all over are coming to Jerusalem for Passover. Christ is coming. The disciples are coming. The lambs are being brought, or the lambs are being bought, and Jesus is ready to share this, what we would call the Last Supper, this last Passover meal with his disciples. And so if you lived in Jerusalem, many people would open up their homes and open up their rooms for the pilgrims to come and share in the Passover meal. And so Christ has made arrangements with the owner of a certain house, and the disciples go, and he we saw how they would find out which house it was. And he said, yeah, I've got an upper room. You 13 guys can go up there and share Passover on the Passover evening. So the disciples made preparations. They came on the particular evening of the Passover to share together at this meal. Now, I'm not going to talk about Judas a whole lot this morning. It's not in my notes. But as the disciples gathered for this Passover meal, and what are they there for? To remember the deliverance of their ancestors from Egypt. That has been their Passover year after year after year after year after year of their lives. And now they've come to another Passover meal. Another time of remembrance of their ancestors' deliverance. A time of celebration for what God has done. But something new and different is going to happen on this evening as they share, they didn't realize it, this last meal with the Lord. You see, he's been talking to them about his death. And what is their response? You're not going to die. You're the Messiah. You're going to set up your kingdom. No, I'm going to die. Jesus knew this was going to be his last meal with them. He knew what lie ahead. He knew of the arrest. He knew of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension back into heaven. And they would understand the whole meaning of that a little bit later. So they come to this meal. Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. They didn't know who it was. Evidently, Judas had covered his phoniness very well. He leaves, and just the disciples are left. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. So at this point of the Passover meal, this middle matzah or unleavened bread would be taken out and it would be broken. And Jesus says to the disciples something they had never heard before. This bread now represents not the haste of leaving Egypt, which it is always referred to, but now I want you to, when you break the bread, I want you to remember my body that's given for you. Now, he hasn't died yet, but he's getting ready to die. In anticipation of his death on the cross, he says, this bread now, remember my body. And he gives thanks for that to the Lord. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the covenant. The third cup, the cup of redemption. So Jesus, at this point, now he's broken the bread. He said, this is my body. And then he gives them the cup and said, this cup is the blood of the new covenant. There is something new being instituted. For centuries, Passover has caused you to remember and reflect and be grateful for God's deliverance from the slavery of Egypt. But now there's a new deliverance. And that's the deliverance that I'm going to give you through my death and shedding of my blood on the cross so you can be delivered not from Egypt, but from sin. The penalty of sin can be removed. I am the innocent lamb, and we don't have time to go into it, but Christ died on the same day and the same afternoon that the Passover lambs would die. He was a fulfillment of that in so many ways, even in the 4 days prior to that when he was examined and showed to be sinless. And we wish I had time to go into that a little bit more today. But he said, this bread and this cup, from now on, as often as you take it, I want you to remember my body, not the haste in leaving Egypt, and my blood of redemption, not redeemed from Egypt, but redeemed from sin and Satan's grasp forever. And we're not going to do this again until I bring in my kingdom. And we'll share that again. He shares that in chapter 14. So, and I have probably been guilty of this in my ministry. Sometimes the Lord's Supper can be just something that you tack on at the end of a service. Okay, now we're finished with the service. We're supposed to do the Lord's Supper. We're supposed to remember his body and blood. Let's just do that and honor him in that way and then go. And so I don't want it to be something that we just tack on. I want it to be something that we understand the significance of it. And so how often should you share in communion of the Lord's Supper? Well, Jesus doesn't give us a specific time. In the early church, it was every day when they met together. Look back in Acts chapter 2. Years ago, our church used to share in this time on the first Sunday of each month. Now we do it on the fifth Sunday, which is what today is. But in just a moment, as we take these elements, and this is not a full supper like the Passover, but that part of the Passover meal that Jesus instituted, which is an ordinance for the church and a command of God, that we remember what he did for us. You see, the Jewish fathers would tell their kids, we'll never know what our great-great-great-great-grandfathers went through in Egypt, how they suffered and they were beaten and they had to make bricks and they were not given straw and it was a terrible time. And they cried out to God for deliverance, and God delivered them with a mighty hand, and they would reenact or at least share the 10 plagues and the crossing of the Red Sea and the drowning of Pharaoh's army. But for us, if Christ had not died for our sins, we wouldn't just have a slim hope of heaven. We would absolutely have no chance, opportunity whatsoever, because we cannot earn our salvation. And just like, and it's sort of, you know, it can get emotional and almost heated if you think about it in talking about it, but for these Jews to take this lamb and cuddle it and hold it and have it in their house and then to kill it, say, oh, that's not right. No more not right than Jesus Christ would leave heaven and all the glory and go to the cross and die for us. Sometimes when you look at Jesus on the cross, you see just a few drops of blood, but he was a bloody pulp. The Bible says it was hard to even recognize him in the figure of a man. He was so beaten and bruised. And if you've seen the Passion of Christ, you saw a little glimpse of what it must have been like. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so when we get to heaven and we see Jesus Christ, I can't imagine what it's going to be like when we know that he's the only reason that we're there. It's because we placed our faith in him and he died for us on the cross and shed his blood. That behooves us to live for him. Look what he's done for you. Look what he saved you from. Look what he saved you to. Our hearts should be filled with gratitude that we get heaven and not hell. And, you know, he's going to wipe away the tears and we're going to be in perfect health and be with our loved ones who are saved forever in a perfect place with Jesus Christ. That's all because of his death on Calvary. And that's what we want to remember this morning. So I'm going to ask our deacons to come, or Paul, whatever guys you have to share in that today, and prepare to share the cup.